New Hampshire legislators begin the final stage of the state budget writing process tomorrow. A handful of senators and House members will gather at what's called a committee of conference. That's where they'll hammer out a compromise plan for state spending over the next 2 years. Billions of dollars are at stake, and reporters in NHPR's newsroom have been keeping an eye on several key policy areas. We'll start with Todd Bookman with a look at how budget negotiations will likely change state tax policy.
You may remember that 2 years ago, during negotiations of the last state spending plan, there was a partisan showdown over tax cuts. Then Governor Hassan vetoed a Republican-backed budget that included a series of cuts to business taxes. That was eventually resolved when the GOP included safeguards that if the tax receipts fell, the cuts would be reversed. This time around, Republicans are backing a second round of cuts to business taxes, and in Governor Chris Sununu, they have an advocate. The theory here is very much trickle-down economics, that if you put more money back into the hands of business leaders, they will spend more, stimulating the economy. I had a chance to speak with Andy Sanborn, a state senator from Bedford. He says if you need any proof, just look at how business tax revenues have gone up in 2017 despite the lower rates.
I sit here today and will tell you that I believe the same thing will happen, that just because you cut the rate doesn't mean you'll get less money in.
But Democrats argue tax cuts don't guarantee more money, and they say this budget, especially in a strong economy, should invest more in healthcare and higher education. They likely don't have the votes, though, to implement that vision.
Thanks, Todd. I'm Casey McDermott with a look at health funding. Coming into the session, all eyes were on two big problems with HHS. One was how to handle shortages in mental health beds, and the other was persistent problems at the state's Child Protection Agency. The Senate's budget includes more money for the Division of Children, Youth, and Families. That's to cover more employees and to create a new director position to oversee the division, after an outside review found the agency was understaffed. While Health Chief Jeff Myers told me the extra money is a good thing, he's concerned the Senate budget overlooks the need to fund more support services for low-income families that are referred to the agency. That's because the legislature's also pushing changes that would create a new option for cases where kids might be at risk but not in immediate need of state oversight. Instead, the state would send those families to other voluntary support services.
Many of them are on Medicaid. Many receive SNAP benefits, food stamp benefits. Many of them receive other services, which is good, but it's an indication that many of these families are low income and would not necessarily have the funds to pay for the voluntary services that could help them and their families remain outside of the DCYF system.
The Senate's version of the budget includes more money for mental health funding, also with an eye toward legislators' separate efforts to add more treatment beds and other services. Elsewhere, the Senate budget also adds more money for the disability waitlist, for domestic violence crisis centers, and foster grandparents. That's a growing need in light of the state's opioid crisis.
Thanks, Casey. I'm Jason Moon with a look at education. The big ticket item this budget season is full-day kindergarten. For years, the state has funded kindergarten at half the level as other grades, meaning towns that do offer full-day programs, they do so on their own dime. And many superintendents in districts with full-day programs say it's past time for the state to pitch in. I recently chatted with Bolhan Vargas. He's the superintendent of Manchester Schools. Here's what he had to say.
Now we have a good economy. And we are still debating whether we're going to give children kindergarten. There are 43 states in this nation that provide free kindergarten, and many of them provide pre-K.
Now, Governor Sununu has made full-day kindergarten a big priority for this budget, and he's urging his otherwise reluctant party to go along on the issue. And so far, there have been several ideas floated about how to do this. And a proposal that's currently on the table is calling for about $9 million in new spending on full-day kindergarten, paid for by taxing the electronic gambling game Keno. Now, while that would be an increase, it would still leave the state funding kindergarten at a lower rate than other grades. Other groups that stand to gain in the budget as it's currently written include charter schools. They'd get a few hundred more dollars per student. The community college system would also see a modest increase in funding. And there's a $5 million scholarship program that was proposed by the governor that's designed to keep graduating high school students in the state. Then there's the public university system. For years, it's had the distinction of receiving the lowest amount of state funding for any university system in the country. Their funding levels are going to remain flat, meaning they'll get to hang on to that distinction for the next 2 years.
That was NHPR reporters Jason Moon, Casey McDermott, and Todd Bookman. Our reporters will look at other issues in the state budget negotiations tomorrow morning during Morning Edition.